You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Alanis Morissette, Brian Adams. But I think as we begin with Canadian pop singers, one you may not have heard of is a group called Moxie Fruvis. And Moxie Fruvis had a song that said, I gotta get a message to you, so hold on. And that's how I feel, that urgency. I gotta get a message to you, and I want to get there. But before I do, we have to start with a Texas Episcopalian who is named Wes, and he made a lot of movies, and the best one that he made, in my opinion, is one called The Royal Tenenbaums, about a dysfunctional family in New York City that live in a very large house. And the mother and father are sort of, they're divorced, and the father wants to reconnect with his children. And each child represents a certain aspect of the difficulty of being a human being. Margot, the daughter, is dealing with a giant sort of wound that she has psychologically and emotionally because of a father that wasn't able to be present for her in the way that she needed. And she's tried to address this wound in lots of ways in her life. I don't know if you know anyone who had a distant parent or a parent who was emotionally absent. Please do not elbow anyone at this moment, but it is a surprisingly common situation. And so Margot is functioning out of the grief from that. And then we have Chaz, who has tried to fill his life with business and financial success, workaholism, and an intensity of control around his children and every other aspect of his life. And he also has lost a spouse. And so he's dealing with unresolved grief, and he thinks that if he can control everything around him, he won't have to deal with any more pain. And then there is Robbie, the failed tennis star who was at the height of his career and had a nervous breakdown because the pressure was so intense. It's a little bit like what happened to Guns N' Roses after the release of Appetite for Destruction. It was so successful, the pressure to do that well again was so much that they cracked under that pressure and never really produced a good album after that. Just listen to Chinese Democracy, Volume 1 and 2. And you'll know what I'm talking about. And he is undergoing, Chaz, this Tenenbaum, is undergoing a massive mental health crisis because of that. So whether you identify with Chaz, with Margot, with Robbie, or all three, I feel like this, well, see a therapist, come meet with me, but I'm glad you're here, because to me, this represents what we are going through. The real difficulty that it is to be a human. I don't know if you've experienced this, but gosh, it is hard. You remember as a kid watching Mr. Rogers, and you thought life was going to be sort of a safe, wonderful place full of caring adults, and then you got to middle school, and you realized it was all a lie, right? People just turned out to be terrible, and you turned out to sometimes be terrible as well, and you were surprised. You had what Australian band NXS called the devil inside. Every single one of us, the devil inside. Dun, 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 dun. You people. I love it. It's more awkward for me, I promise. But you got this problem inside. You got these problems outside. The problems inside, the miscommunications, the misunderstandings, the ways it is difficult to live with other people and with yourself. There's a new film out starring Will Arnett in which he plays a man going through a midlife crisis. Laura Dern, his wife, and he are splitting up. And there's a scene in which he tries to give her a gift. And I don't know if you ever tried to give someone a gift and it wasn't received well, but it is that situation where he is giving it with good intentions, but the what it communicates to her is different than what he intended, and the surprise to him and the surprise to her, she's now deeply hurt. He is hurt because she didn't receive the gift as it was intended. And this is something so simple, like giving a gift, to someone and they do love each other and they're trying to repair the relationship. I don't know if you ever found that the people with whom you are closest are often the ones with whom you have the most difficult time interacting because the waters, surprisingly, are shark infested. And it's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be goldfish infested. Yet it seems terrifying often in these close human and family relationships. Why is that? Did you ever stop and ask, why is that? Why is it so hard? I'm like Jerry Seinfeld. Why is this thing of having a family and being a person so challenging? Well, Robert Zimmerman, Bob Dylan of Minnesota, he got it right in 89 in his third and final Christian album. Everything is broken, he's saying. Everything is broken. It's not that nothing is beautiful, but everything seems to be in some way bearing some sort of scar or pain or difficulty. Everything seems to be a little bit not what it should be. This is what makes Easter so urgent and so needed. This is why I've got to get a message to you. And I've got to get a message to you because Jesus had to get a message to you and to his disciples and to the ones who loved him and the ones who had betrayed him and the ones who had left him in his hour of need. If you've been through our Holy Week services, you've heard the story of all the disciples who promised to stick with him to the end, that they would go down with the ship with him if that's what it demanded. They would go down in a blaze of glory with Jesus. They wouldn't leave him. They wouldn't forsake him. They were never going to give him up. They were never going to let him down. They were never going to run around and desert him. If you don't get that, ask your children. And yet they all deserted. They all fled. They all left. And so this morning on Easter, this miracle happens. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary go to the tomb, fully expecting to find a corpse behind that stone. There are two Roman soldiers guarding it. The tomb has been sealed. And they get there and an angel appears. And the angel rolls away the stone and sits on top of the stone, very shiny, very impressive, very terrifying. He has to say, "Don't be afraid." And this is the thing I want you to get. This is the sort of miracle. This is the urgency. This is my point to you today, the message I want to get to you, the urgency with which Jesus approaches you and me and everybody after his resurrection. And you get that urgency from the fact that when the women arrive, even though the tomb is sealed, the resurrection has already happened. We get this because the angel rolls away the stone and tells the women, "Look, come see the place where he is laid." Meaning, come look, he's already gone. He's already made the bed and left. Now, if I were rising from the dead, I would want to be more impressive. I would want to maybe work something out with the angel beforehand and say, "Okay, angel, I'm going to be hiding behind the stone, and I want you to roll it away, and I'm going to sort of pop out and really impress them, like, ha ha ha," and maybe we get some trumpets to play, a little brass, and a choir singing, cue the hallelujah chorus, all of that. It'll be great, maybe some pyrotechnics. But Jesus doesn't do any of that. When they get there, even though the guards are there, the tomb is sealed, the stone is over the tomb, he's already resurrected from the dead. He's already gone. So much so that when the angel rolls away the stone, there's nothing to see except a nice, neatly made stone where he's left the grave cloths. He's already left. Jesus has this urgency about him. He's got to get out there. He's got to get the message to the people. And the message is not, "I can't believe you all failed me. I can't believe you all deserted me. I can't believe you said you'd be with me and you weren't. I can't believe you let me down. How could you betray me, you bunch of sinners, you brood of vipers?" None of that. He's got to get the message to them that they are loved and forgiven and that death is over. Whether you are Margot, whether you are Chaz, whether you're Robbie, whether you have a deep emotional wound from a trauma in your childhood, whether you are someone who is grieving a loss that just won't, you feel like you should be in a place where you have accepted it and moved forward with it, but you're not there, and you're living a life of fear. Whether you're someone who's haunted by your past failures, or whatever the case may be, or combination thereof, wherever you are a human. You are a sinner. You're someone who knows death. You have griefs that you cannot bear. And you need a word of relief and comfort, not of judgment. Jesus has now, in his resurrection from the dead, he's defeated death. Do you realize? He has defeated death. It couldn't hold him. The thing that all of us cannot defeat on our own, the thing that is coming for us all, the thing that we live with now, these griefs that we bear, all of it, the sin that is inside of us, that thing, the devil inside that makes us erupt at the people we live with, that makes us self-absorbed and petty around small slights, the thing that makes us want sometimes bad things to happen to other people to teach them a lesson, the part of us that does all those things, the problems outside, the problems inside, Jesus has defeated all of that. Death is over. Death does not get the final say, and sin does not cling to us and weigh us down. It is actually washed away, and we are made free. This is the news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and he can't wait to get the news out there, so much so that he doesn't wait around to show his impressive eruption from the tomb. He's already gone because he's got to get the message out. He wants to let people know that death is defeated, that sin is forgiven, that folks who have let God down, if you've let the Lord down, you feel, or if you let others down, maybe you've let yourself down, he wants to let you know that he's not surprised, that he has nothing but mercy for you and forgiveness, that his love for you is more real than your own breath and has been there from the beginning. God takes on human flesh to get into your business, to let you know that the problem of being human, that problem has been solved. He has lived it, and he has died, and he has risen, and he comes now to forgive your sins and to let you know that eternal life is there for you now. Wes Anderson more recently put out a film called Asteroid City, in which a father who's dealing with the death of his wife and the grief that he carries, and he's an atheist who doesn't know what to do with it, but he's telling his children who've asked, "Where is mom?" They want to know where she is, and he says to them, "Let's say she's in heaven," which doesn't exist for me, of course, but you're Episcopalian. Good news, folks. You're Episcopalian. And more than that, you are Christians. And maybe you're not. Maybe there's some people here. I know it's Easter. You got dragged here. So I don't know where you are spiritually. But I can tell you that what Jesus Christ has done by defeating death and by removing sin and by offering a word of grace and not judgment, a word of love and forgiveness and not condemnation, that is for you. We are being given this great gift, this new day, this new doorway that is opened to eternal life, where death is defeated, where sin is forgiven. Can you imagine walking through life knowing that you are loved, knowing that you are enough, knowing that you can rest, knowing that all is forgiven, that you are not defined by the worst thing you ever did, that you are someone made in God's image, so valuable to God that he took on human flesh and died and rose again for you? What if that were true? What if the tomb were empty? What if God had saved the world and you? Well, that is the message I've got to get to you. That is the message that Jesus can't wait to tell the disciples. And he tells them to go to Galilee. And this is what I'm going to end with, because this is the message for you. He can't wait to get out of that tomb. He can't wait to get to Galilee. He says, "Angel, tell them to go to Galilee. Tell my brothers to meet me there." Those people that failed and deserted me and fled and betrayed me, he calls them brothers. He's already forgiven them. He says, "Tell them to go to Galilee. I want to meet them there." And then the women are going to tell them, and Jesus, he couldn't not tell them. He shows up. "Greetings," he says. "Hey, you guys, tell the brothers I'm going to meet him in Galilee." So they're all going to Galilee. Now, Matthew doesn't tell us what happens in Galilee, but if you read John's gospel, you know what happens. And Jesus goes to Galilee to have breakfast on the beach by the Sea of Tiberias with the disciples. And he makes a charcoal fire there. And he makes a charcoal fire to remind all of the disciples, but especially Peter, because when Peter denied Christ three times, when he failed him so profoundly, the Gospels tell us he was standing warming himself by a charcoal fire. And Jesus makes this fire on the beach, and he pulls Peter aside, and he tells him three times, I love you. You're forgiven. The reason Jesus wants to meet us in Galilee is he wants us to know that the thing that is so heavy for us, the thing that we can't bear, the deaths that we carry around, the sins that weigh us down, he wants to meet us in a place, and he wants to tell us, I know, and I love you. I know, and you're forgiven. I know, and all is healed. I got to get a message to you. God has saved the world, and God loves you. Happy Easter, Episcopalians. Episcopalian adjacent, spiritually searching, or wherever you are, the message for you is grace, love, forgiveness, and life. Let us pray. Almighty God, thank you for your victory over death and sin. Thank you for the healing that you offer us, the grace and mercy. We receive it, and we ask you to help us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.